The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 4th of March, 2021. On the podcast today, Andrew Duxbury, Finance Director of Galliford Try, discusses their half-year report where they've returned to profitability and resumed the dividend and got a big tump of cash as well. Also on the podcast, Nick Lee, Investment Director, and David Palumbo, Non-Executive Director of Perez Investments. They talk about their increased exposure to digital assets and other investments too. Plus, Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare at SP Angel, discusses Allergy Therapeutics, that's AGY. And as always, at the end of the podcast, I'll be highlighting two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most read RNSs. You can check out those lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'll see lots for the content. In fact, there's an article there on Salt Lake Potash syndicates the $138 million senior debt facility. Perez Investments article as well, Galliford Try article, a Q&A with Aberdeen Standard Senior Investment Manager Andrew Lister, and lots for the stuff that impact. Let's go back up here. Let's check out the COVID-19 index, the top biggest rise of the day, Gene Drive. It's a bit of a sell-off day today. Biggest riser there is Gene of 1.6%, that's all. Biggest faller, Hemo Pharmaceuticals, Hemogenics, I should say, that's Hemo ticker, down 4% to 6 pence. You can check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Duxbury, Finance Director of Galliford Try. GFRD is the ticker. Andrew, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, hi Justin, good to speak again.
Yeah, and you've just released your half-year results, and we'll dig into the figures in a bit. As always, Andrew, for people maybe not familiar with what you do, because I know it's changed the profile a little bit in the last year or so, just explain Galliford Try what you're all about, please.
Of course. Well, Galliford Try is a construction company. We operate across the UK from Devon up to the Scottish Highlands, working in both the building and the infrastructure space. And nearly 90% of our work is public or regulated sectors. Our main clients are in education, health, defence, building, and at the highways and the water sectors in infrastructure.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so let's look into half your results. Take us through some of the highlights, if you could, Andrew.
Well, look, we're delighted to return to profitability this half year, the half year to December. And our results were bang in line with expectations and the strategy that you and I talked about last time we spoke, Justin. We maintained our well-capitalised balance sheet with an increase in our average month-end net cash to £158 million. And remember that we've got no debt at all. Our selective approach to bidding and our disciplined approach to risk management is reflected in a really high quality order book of £3.3 billion across those focus sectors I mentioned. And we've got 96% of this year's revenue secured and 76% of next year's, which are great positions to be in. And that means we've been able to retain our financial guidance for this year. And we continue to see a really strong pipeline of opportunities, including government investment into infrastructure and the built environment. So, finally, Justin, really importantly, with our return to profitability, I'm really pleased that we've been able to declare an interim dividend of 1.2 pence this year.
Yeah, that's very good. And just looking there, you know, I mean, this needs to be put in context. The amount of cash you have and you're profitable, and now you're valued at 160 million. Did you say you had 158 in cash? Is that right?
That's right. That was our average month-end cash for the 6 months, 158 million.
Yeah, doesn't seem to make sense. And the dividend's been reinstated. That's a positive. So are you confident now the sort of major impact of COVID is behind you?
Well, look, we've been operational through the whole financial year so far since July. All our projects continuing to deliver essentially at normal productivity levels. And that includes during this latest lockdown that we're currently in. And of course, really importantly, in keeping our sites open, we're prioritising the safety of everybody on those sites, adopting COVID-secure working practices in line with the best practice industry and government guidance. But based on that robust balance sheet, good performance, strong outlook, we're confident of the future and driven by that. That's why we've reinstated our dividend. And I should say we've enhanced our future dividend policy. We've reduced our cover from 3 times to a range of 2 to 2.5 times.
Wow. Okay, it's looking good. And you said there about your strategy, and we've talked about it before. For people who haven't heard that previously, just remind the listeners of the strategy for the business, if you could, Andrew.
Of course. Strategy is all about sustainable growth, about margin progression and operating sustainably, because we think that creates long-term value. So we're focused on retaining the solid foundations that we've built, a particular focus on risk management and commercial disciplines. We're focused on improving our operational performance, driving that margin progression. And we're focused on delivering strong, predictable cash flows, quality margin growth. And as part of that, the emphasis on risk management, that's why we focus on sectors where we've got proven experience. For example, education, health, highways and water. And importantly, we believe that being a people-orientated, progressive business creates long-term value for all of our stakeholders.
Yeah, yeah. Well, talk about long-term value there. Give us some long-term goals then, Andrew, if you could.
Sure. Well, look, we're excited by the future. We're well-placed to capitalise on the current market opportunities that we see. So we've restated our medium-term financial guidance. Actually, we've increased our medium-term margin target. And that can all be found in our results presentation on our website today. We're also building on our ESG commitments. And again, in our half-year statement, we've included some specific examples of actions that we've taken there around our fleet carbon emissions, about work that we're doing with our clients. And so we're really confident that maintaining our disciplined approach to project selection, to risk management, that will allow us to deliver our strategy in the long term. And specifically, it will deliver those predictable results and sustainable returns for our shareholders.
Excellent stuff. Sounds all good. It sounds very positive. And so if people are listening to this thinking the same, but are not yet following the story, just give them three quick reasons, if you could, Andrew, why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add Galliford Try to their watch list, please.
Of course. So look, firstly, the market. We've got a clear focus on our sectors where we've got proven strengths. Those sectors have got high levels of structural demand at the moment, and they're being supported by increasing government investment. Secondly, our disciplined approach to delivering the projects. That's underpinned by our risk management, by our project selection, alongside really excellent client relationships, framework positions, and that great order book. And thirdly, our strong financial position. That creates the platform for profitable growth. That includes our robust balance sheet, that strong cash balance, that return to profitability, and of course, our improved dividend policy.
Excellent stuff. It's good to chat to you, Andrew. Hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Nick Lee, Investment Director, and David Palumbo, Non-Executive Director of Pires Investments, PIRI. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no, good to be here, Justin. I thought it was, you know, it was good. We hadn't spoken for a little bit, and I thought it was good to just sort of update people on what we've been up to in a relatively short period of time, because we've actually been quite busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, just a one-liner. Just for, obviously, there's some clue in the title there, Pires Investments. Yeah. But just give us a one-liner as to what Pires is all about, if you could, Nick. And then we'll go into some of the investment updates you've done, and we'll talk to David as well.
Yeah. So basically, Pires is an investment company listed on AIM, which is very much focused on next-generation technology. So, you know, cutting-edge technology. And so that we're looking for investment opportunities in a range of sort of subsectors within that overall sort of structure.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Okay, and a few weeks back, in fact, on my birthday, you announced the purchase of a shareholding in Sure Ventures. Can you explain that? What's happening there, please?
Yeah, so one of our how we sort of got into the technology space is we took a position in a private venture capital fund called Sure Valley Ventures, and that's gone incredibly well, and we've, you know, realized returns, you know, cash returns from it, and it's got a very exciting portfolio of assets. And so there's another vehicle, which is a listed vehicle called Sure Ventures, which again, their principal investment was in the same sort of fund, and we thought it would be quite an interesting way of increasing our exposure, because the fund has closed back in August of last year. So a good way of increasing our exposure to what is a very exciting portfolio was to almost do it slightly indirectly and take a position in Sure Ventures. So that's what we've done. We've effectively acquired a 28% shareholding in Sure Ventures. Mm. What that really means is that we've significantly increased our see-through or direct and indirect exposure to that Sure Valley Ventures portfolio from 13% to a total of about 20%. which 13% is direct and 7% is indirect through shore ventures. And we've used our equity to fund that, so it's not been a cash cost to us. So we thought that was a very attractive way of increasing our exposure.
Yeah, okay, marvellous stuff. And a couple of weeks later, you updated on Low Six. Explain what Low Six is and your investment there.
Yeah, so Low Six is a sort of an online platform focused on the sort of sports betting space. It's sort of, in a nutshell, it will, for example, embed its sort of betting platform into the app of let's say, a group of supporters of a particular football team. And then there's a sort of a bit of a revenue share. So, if you're a Fulham supporter like I am, that if you place a sort of bet through that app, then the club will get some benefit from it. And it's also it's more sort of interactive type betting. It's not it's not for somebody that just wants to bet to see whether Fulham's going to win their next game 2-1. It's a bit more, who's going to get booked first, who's going to score the first goal. It's much more interactive. So it enhances the sort of the viewing experience of watching a game of football. That's the sort of logic for it.
Yeah.
And it's done incredibly well, and it's raised quite a lot of money. And, we're expecting it to IPO probably within the, Q2 of this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about digital asset sector, which is obviously very hot at the moment, especially and going forward probably. So what's happening here? You've invested in Pluto, yeah?
Yeah, so originally we invested in a company developing an app to enable you to navigate the decentralized finance space. We got some associated new tokens that have been issued in connection with that. They've all done incredibly well. And what we've then done is we've sort of moved into a slightly different vehicle called Pluto, which has got more of a, we had slightly sort of a narrow focus. And so with Pluto, we're able to have a much more diversified exposure to, as you say, what is a very hot space at the moment, the digital asset space. So we've effectively, I think, quite cleverly utilized our Yacht tokens and our DTEC investment and translated it into an investment in Pluto. And Pluto, as you see from our RNS today, it's just raised in excess of £20 million in effectively its third fundraise in a relatively short period of time. And the idea is that they're actively working on listing the company at the moment. And, one of the things with our holdings of Yacht tokens, 75% of them were actually locked up for 10 to 16 months, whereas by swapping them for shares in Pluto, we're in a position where we can see liquidity coming through at a much earlier phase. So great way to get experience and understand and invest in that space in perhaps a slightly reduced risk type scenario.
Yeah. And Pluto holds stakes in quite a few coins and the cryptocurrencies, for example, Bitcoin, Ethereum. How many? 16 is there altogether?
Yeah, there's about 16. But I mean, the real sort of the focus here is more about providing. They obviously do hold some coins, but they provide advice. They help new projects get going. And I don't know how familiar you are with the space, but some of these new tokens can perform in a sort of fairly stellar way. And so the business model is much more to get into working with those sorts of projects and generate those sorts of gains. But obviously they can hold a whole range of other investments as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, let's... David, he's been sitting there quietly, but some people will know David from, of course, another company. But David, I suppose, welcome to the board of Perez and your non-exec. Tell us why you've decided to join and what you can bring to the company, please.
Justin, nice talking to you. I think this is the first time, hopefully not the last. I've been following Perez for a number of years, particularly in the last you know, year before coming onto the board. You know, my background, I think, is useful for the company, and I, also for me, it's very interesting to be involved with peers. You know, I have best part of the last 15 years working on venture capital in technology, both as a principal investor, but also representing and sponsoring deals for family offices and institutional. So I like the nature of peers, the team, also the portfolio of investments, and I like that by being an investment vehicle is very transactional. So I mean, since I joined as a non-executive, I think we're already on the third or fourth transaction, and you know, I hope I can bring the network that I have in terms of capital introductions, but also in terms of interesting deal flow in the space that you know, disruptive technologies in VR, AR, and digital. So really excited and really looking to help with the strategy.
Yeah, absolutely marvelous stuff. Okay, Nick, well, you know the score here. As always, at the end of the podcast, I like to, you know, give people a chance to hit that follow button. So summarize, if you could, in three bullet points, why they should hit that follow button on Perez and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we've got exposure to a fantastic portfolio of investments. I mean, you know, not just the Shore Value Ventures investments, but, you know, the new investments we've been making in the digital asset space, which, you know, is a great way for something in that space to get sort of exposure in a slightly more diversified form. And I think, you know, the share price has performed very well of late. And I think that's sort of validation of that strategy. So I think we've got a great strategy to build the company going forward.
Marvellous stuff. Nick, David, thanks for chatting to us, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare at SP Angel. You all right, Vadim?
How you doing, Justin?
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks. Let's crack into it. So you got a new stock. We've mentioned this one before, the Allergy Therapeutics. Have we mentioned this?
Yeah, no, I maybe once before, but haven't talked about it in a while. It's this is a stock I've held for quite some time. I like it a lot. It's just it's been kind of slow to move in the rally of biotech healthcare shares. You know, it's gone up, but like it just hasn't had. There's still something wrong with the rating of these shares, and I think it's just a great opportunity still.
Okay, so it's Allergy Therapeutics. AGY is ticker. It's about 130 million market cap. They've just had their interim results out. Tell us what they do then, and give us some highlights on the results, if you could, Vadim.
Yeah, perfect. So basically, this is a company that's in the area of allergies, basically, as the name suggests. What they do is they provide, you know, their immunotherapies to make you, to desensitize you, if you like, to your allergies. Again, this is various allergies. They have products across the board for pollens, you know, house dust mite allergies, pet allergies, allergies to molds. I mean, they have, as you'll see in the interims, you know, they did about 54 million in revenues in the first half. Mm-hmm. And they're averaging about, because there's seasonality to allergies, so their first half is always stronger than their second half. So on balance, you can expect about 80, 85 million for the full year. You know, ballpark. I think that's in keeping with their previous years. They're growing about 7%, I think, constant currency. I think they said 5%. So, you know, it's a steady, you know, single digit, you know, growth revenue business in this area of allergies. Okay. But by the same token, they also have a pipeline of products. So they keep innovating, and they're going into other major allergies. One is they have a phase three, they're a product entering phase three trials for, I believe it's grass allergies. And then further down the pipeline, which is a big one, is they have a phase one trial product in peanut allergies, which, as you know, is a big, big area. If you can crack that, then you've got,
hey,
you've
got
a very big product. Crack the nut, no pun intended.
Do you know what? I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, what's the issue there? It seemed very, I mean, they're too big for me. I generally see the market cap's a lot smaller than this, but they seem like, on the revenues you stated there, they're not far off just being valid what their revenues are, and they're making profit. Have they got any debt? So I can't see any debt there.
Yeah,
what's the issue there? Why are they so undervalued?
Absolutely. I don't understand what the issue is. That's why I think it's a good opportunity. Is that okay? So it's had a good share rally over the last year. It's steadily gone from about 10p to 20p. So it's doubled. But you know, and yet, you know, against other peers in the market that have gone up 5-10 times or a lot higher, whereas this one's just generating a huge amount of revenue. It's still undervalued, in my opinion, in terms of a multiple against that revenue. You know, we've seen I would expect it should be at least 2-3 times revenue, given that that business is quite profitable. So I think they when you strip out the R&D development costs on the new programs, right? Remember, I mentioned the phase three, the phase one program. Mm. You strip out that, they have a pre-R&D adjusted operating profit of about £20 million, which is their record amount for the first half. You know, so why is this thing trading so low on such a low multiple? You know, there's something in the business for those programs as well, right? I think I find it's undervalued just on its current financials, but you get nothing for its development pipeline. Other businesses are worth more than this business on development pipeline alone, you know. So, and then the last thing, just to you know, add, I guess, salt to the wound of existing Energy shareholders, is that it has a £50 million cash balance on top of everything. You know what I mean? So it's generating cash. It has, you know, steady growing revenues. Admittedly, they're not triple digit growth revenue, you know, revenue growth. They're not seeing that kind of revenue growth, but they are seeing steady year-on-year growth in revenues. They have a good business. That business is quite profitable, and they're plowing those profits, not all of them, some of those profits, into further development of potentially much larger indications like peanut allergies, you know. So that pipeline itself has value, but right now you're not even getting value for the core business. So, you know, my point being is, you know, at some point, something has to happen. People have to wake up to the undervalued nature of this company. Now, you're asking me what's going on. Well, I suspect allergy has been around for a long time, you know, and I think there's maybe some element of investor fatigue historically over this company. And maybe that's what the problem is. There's some, you know, historic overhang or lack of interest because people have been watching it for a very long time. So there's some truth to that. But if you look at it more recently, so I think where the shares came off aggressively in the last 2 years was maybe about 2 years ago. They had a phase three failure in one of their programs. I think it was a birch, a product against birch allergies. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was a phase three failure. It did affect the share price substantially. But, you know, the shares went all the way down to 7 or 8p. And, you know, that was an overshoot. And I don't think the shares have ever really quite recovered. So, there is an opportunity here in that the company has clearly moved on from that. They now have another phase three product. They have another, you know, a good pipeline coming up behind that with the peanut allergy product. And more importantly, they have a huge cash balance. They can fund all those trials with that cash and with their cash flow from a revenue generating business that generates about 80 million plus pounds of revenue per annum.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you take the cash off, they're about one times revenue they're valued on, which is, you know, a bit silly, yeah. Isn't it? It's a bit odd.
Yeah, exactly. It's trading on an EV of one time revenues. Mm. That means you get nothing for the pipeline as well. So, that says nothing about the development program as well. So you and I know you've got, you know, we've seen other companies with development, you know, products in development that are worth more, you know, admittedly for bigger, maybe more interesting markets. I don't think peanut allergies are small. You know, I think that's a major market. But nonetheless, they're worth, two or three times that with no revenues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's
hard to explain this one is what I mean. It's hard to explain why the valuation is so low. Like I said, maybe some of the history still, you know, still haunts people. But at this level, it's just cheap. It's cheap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? I'm liking the chart though, because like I said, it's had that big dip down. It went under 8p at one point, then it came back up. But it's hit its head on 22p. But the third time now, it's resistance there. So I would say if it breaks that, it's going to start to move a bit because that's the resistance point. 22p. It's tried it to get above that. Got it to three times now, and it's there now. It's there now, and it's looking quite good. So who knows? Maybe it's due a move. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool. That's good. It's good you brought that up because the new stock, always good to have a new idea on the show. Of course, do your own research, everyone. It's just an idea. Some ideas are good, some ideas are bad. But, and you've got to do some more research. But we give you the initial ideas and then you do some more research. Vadim, thanks for that very much. And we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Justin. Speak soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It is, as I'm scrolling crazily, Glaxo. Wow, GlaxoSmithKline. It's up, a tiny smudge, 0.7% to 12.16. At four, Shield Therapeutics, up 8.3% to 39 pence. At three, KR1 PLC, done so well in the crypto space, and that's up 1.43% to 170. At two, Univision Engineering, down 20% to 2.2 pence. And at one, Mountfield Group, it's down again, down 40% yesterday, I think it was, down again another 4% there. That's MOGP ticker. Okay, top five most read RNSs are as follows. At five, you get Oil and Gas, Loxley appeal inquiry scheduled for July 2021. I'm glad of that. At four, Orison Mining, notice of investor and analyst call. At three, Salt Lake Potash, senior debt syndication to Sequoia and CBA. At two, Microsoft Systems, holdings and company. And at one, Remote Monitor Systems, update on Farm to Farm Limited. Check out those lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.